RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. The dramatic rise in do-it-yourself activities in Australia over recent years is creating a dark side as increasing numbers of patients present with injuries caused by circular power tools such as angle grinders and power saws. The increase has been revealed in a five-year study carried out by plastic surgery registrar Dr. Edward Gibson. Dr. Gibson conducted a retrospective audit of all admissions relating to angle grinders or power saws between 2011 and 2016. The sorts of safety checks carried out in the workplace are lacking in the home environment, he says, and these powerful circular saws can cause significant trauma and lasting disability. So what brought about this audit and who's most at risk? Dr. Edward Gibson is talking to Heather Dawson.
We've been certainly anecdotally noticing a dramatic increase, particularly in 30 to 50 age group, individuals injuring themselves around the home with these power tools. And what we decided to undertake is to see whether that anecdotal evidence actually was backed up by the data. And certainly we noted a fairly steady increase year by year in cases over the course of our five-year study.
And what kinds of injuries are you seeing from these power tools?
Really ranged, quite a range and variety from simple skin lacerations and injuries and wounds through to more significant injuries. And we noted around about half the cases in our study actually had injuries which involved bone, tendon or nerve or all of the above. So some quite significant injuries there, and typically involving the hand or the forearm. So some fairly significant regions involved. A number of injuries did involve the face as well, which was a little bit surprising from the power tools bouncing, we suspect, or also the upper thigh. And I guess this is related to perhaps positioning of the tool and stance of the individual when the tool sort of moves through the item it's been cutting in, into the thigh underneath. So those are the main injuries and quite a variety of injuries, we think.
Well, you conducted a retrospective audit of injuries of all admissions related to angle grinder or power saws, as you said. Can you fill us in on some of the details?
Yeah, certainly. As I said, this sort of grew out of anecdotally seeing quite a number of cases coming through our emergency department and being referred on to the specialty teams. And we found across our five-year study, so 2011 to 2016, we found 94 particular patients. 93 of them were men, and the vast majority, so two-thirds of these injuries actually occurred at home rather than the workplace. Quite a range in age as well, from 15 through to 75, but around at least a third of these cases fell in that 30 to 50 age group bracket. No real distinction in ethnic group or race, and it was a fairly even makeup across the board there.
Have you formed a view of what could be done to prevent such injuries?
Yeah, look, great question. I think this comes down to several different things. Firstly, there's the protective equipment element. These tools need to be viewed in an appropriate manner, that these are serious and significant power tools, which are usually utilised by specialised individuals who have training. So if you are going to be using them around the home, then you need to equip yourself appropriately. So that would mean protective gloves, protective armwear, certainly face shields as a start. There are a number of, I guess, interventions as well around the actual device itself, and these need to be appropriately fitted. So there are shields and protectors you can get, and certainly the more expensive variety do have certain safety mechanisms inbuilt, which we'd be encouraging people to look at and to buy, certainly. And the final thing really is appropriate training and understanding of these devices. So, as I said at the start, these are quite serious and significant devices. They're very useful and can be used quite safely and appropriately, but people need to be skilled with this. And I don't think these are something that people without the appropriate training or at least guidelines for these tools need to be using.
Should hardware stores, which sell these potentially dangerous tools, accept some kind of responsibility?
I think it really comes down to both, all three parties really involved. There's the manufacturers who need to take some responsibility in ensuring that their devices are safe and have appropriate safety mechanisms fitted. There are, as I said before, shields that you can get and certain stop or automated stop devices that you can place on these devices to prevent or reduce the significance of injuries. The retailers certainly should be, I think, evaluating what kind of products they are selling and ensuring that they are selling the best quality and highest quality devices, and also ensuring potentially that maybe the people are appropriately skilled and trained and equipped with the appropriate safety device as well. And finally, I mean, really, this comes down to the individual as well. You've got to seriously question whether you need these devices, and if you do, whether you're appropriately skilled to utilise them.
Problem is, are we likely to see more of these kinds of injuries in the future, do you think? Because do-it-yourself activities certainly seem to be on the increase.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all, to some extent, enjoy getting out and doing some of these kind of labour things, getting to the yard and whatnot. And as these devices become cheaper, and they are becoming cheaper and more accessible, you would expect as more people have them, more people are going to use them, and therefore the rates of injuries are going to increase. So we're at a fairly important time now where we can, I think, make some important changes, some of which have been alluded to already about the safety of these devices and training of individuals who are going to use them to ensure that we can potentially reduce the number of injuries that are coming through.
Are you aware of injuries from other do-it-yourself activities like, you know, falling off ladders or nail guns, for example?
Yeah, certainly anecdotally, a number of different specialties have reported increases in numbers of injuries from, you know, a range of different things. So you mentioned falling from ladders, and some colleagues of mine certainly ran a small study looking at head injuries and whether they could be prevented by wearing bicycle helmets. And we know that's certainly been on the rise anecdotally, and people have noted increase in these sort of do-it-yourself, I guess, project-related trauma across a whole range of things, nail guns, fall from ladders, angle grinders, and various other things as well.
Right. Well, finally then, any word to surgeons who themselves might be looking at doing some maintenance around the home?
I guess the first thing with angle grinders is probably don't, if you can avoid it. But if you do want to engage in these sorts of things, and like I said, you know, I think we probably all, to some extent, do enjoy getting out there, these devices should be viewed in an appropriate and serious way. They do come with some serious risks. And for individuals like surgeons who are using their hands every day, significant hand trauma can be a sort of a career-threatening injury. So need to take that seriously and ensure that there is appropriate safety protective devices in the way, gloves, face shields, etc., and to understand the devices, how they're used, how they can be safely used, and what you're intended to use them for. And certainly I'd be ensuring that you're buying the best quality tools. There's no point in saving, you know, $50 on an angle grinder if that results in a more significant injury. So go out and ensure that you're getting the best tools available with the best safety mechanisms built in, and then use them wisely.
Darwin Plastic Surgery Registrar, Dr. Edward Gibson. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Bongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.